Nancy Lee DeMoss says every mom asks questions like these.
Does what I'm doing really matter? Does it matter as much as what some other woman may be doing? And am I making any difference with my life?
It's Monday, April 30th, and this is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. What purpose does your family serve? According to today's advertising, your family exists to consume fast food, purchase toys, and cleaning products. Is there more than this? Nancy will take you to the Bible to find a greater purpose for your family in a series called Leaving a Godly Legacy.
This past week, I was reading a chapter in a book. The chapter is by Carolyn Mahaney, who is a pastor's wife and a mother of several. And she says, I still clearly remember the weekend when I hit mothering meltdown. I hadn't heard that phrase before, and it was intriguing to me. Mothering meltdown. Here's how she describes it. She says, my two older daughters were 4 and 5. My youngest was still an infant, and CJ, her husband, was away on a ministry trip. The older girls promptly came down with a vicious stomach virus, and I spent a solid 24-hour period cleaning up behind them. Of course, they missed the bucket nearly every time. I was simultaneously changing dirty diapers and doing endless loads of soiled laundry. There was no relief, and I was utterly exhausted. I remember thinking, really, is what I'm doing all that important? There are women out there working 9 to 5 who seem to be doing something much more important than this. Now, as a wife and a mom, do you ever find yourself with some of those thoughts? Perhaps getting caught up in the dailiness of life and missing the big picture, losing sight of what this is all about. Maybe you find yourself wondering at times, as Mrs. Mahaney did, what's the purpose? Why am I doing this? And am I doing this right? Does what I'm doing really matter? Does it matter as much as what some other woman may be doing? And am I making any difference with my life? There's a wonderful pair of psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, that I think addresses those kinds of questions and issues. I want to look at those two psalms, look at them as a pair, and see what we can learn about God's heart for our families. What's the purpose? And what's involved in fulfilling God's purpose for our families? Now, you'll notice in most of your translations, at the beginning of each of these psalms, that they're called a song of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S, a song of ascents. Some of your translations may say a song of degrees. These are actually two of a set of psalms, or Old Testament hymns, if you will, that were sung by Jewish pilgrims as they would be taking their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is set up, as many of you know, on a hill. So as they would be ascending up to the holy place, the temple in Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. And these songs, these psalms, these hymns, many of them are hymns of praise, but they also deal with such practical earthly matters as having a family. And that says to me that God intends that being a family member, a daughter, a sister, a wife, a mother, whatever your role is as a family member or the many roles that you may have, that is to be part of our relationship with God, part of our worship, that even as we're driving to church, so to speak, or about our daily responsibilities, that we ought to be turning our hearts toward God and getting His perspective on these daily aspects of our roles. I want to read these two psalms. They're short, and then we'll break them apart, unpack them, and see what they have to say to us. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And then Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Now keep in mind that this was meant to be sung. You may not have ever thought about singing songs about God's plan for the family, but God is interested in these aspects of our lives being part of our worship and our relationship with Him. Now as we begin in Psalm 127, there are three word pictures that these Jewish pilgrims, that the psalmist used in this psalm. And I want us to look at them in an overview and then look at each one individually and see what these word pictures tell us about bringing up families that have a heart for God. The first word picture is in the first verse of Psalm 127. And we see here the image of a workman, someone who is building a house, a builder. Then in the second part of verse 1, we see a reference to a watchman. Someone who is like a security guard, guarding the city or guarding the site. A workman, a watchman, and then we come to verse 4 and we see the picture of a warrior. A workman, a watchman, and a warrior. Now, being a woman, these are not word pictures that I immediately gravitate to, I have to tell you that. And yet there is a sense in which each of those words apply to men or to women in our roles as home builders. You remember that wonderful verse in Proverbs 14, verse 1, that tells us every wise woman builds her house. Every wise woman, whether or not she has physical children that she has born in that home, every wise woman in some sense is building a home. Building a house, building a legacy to leave for the next generation. So I, as a single woman, have a responsibility and a privilege to be building a home. Some of you who are empty nesters, your children are grown, you're still in the process of building a home. For you see, a house has to do, obviously, with our immediate relationships, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, then extended family relationships. But any place where our lives are touching other people is, in a sense, a part of the home that we are building. As women, if we're wise women, we're building our home, our obvious physical, biological family, but then also we have a home at church. We have relationships in the body of Christ, the family of God. And if we're wise women, we'll be building those relationships. And we have, many of us, relationships and a sphere of influence in our workplace. If we're wise women, we will be building a legacy, building relationships, building a home environment in that workplace, in our communities, with those whose lives we touch. These analogies of the workman, the watchman, and the warrior all speak to our calling as adult believers to influence a next generation in their walk with God. And those analogies, those word pictures, give us some practical insights, I think, into what is required and what is involved in passing on a heritage of godliness to the next generation. Now, let me just say that this is something that every one of us has a responsibility to do. Some of you have children and grandchildren, and you're doing that in an obvious way. But even those of us who are not married, do not have children, we still bear a responsibility as adult believers in Christ to pass on the baton, the heritage, the legacy of God's way of thinking and living, not just to keep it for ourselves and enjoy it for ourselves, but to pass on God's ways and God's heart and our faith to pass it on intact to the next generation. The first word picture that we see in this passage is that of a workman or a builder. It's interesting that the Hebrew words for son, for daughter, and for house all come from the same root word. It's the word bana, and it means to build. So whether you're building children, sons and daughters, or a house, building a home, there's a sense there of building. I remember a number of years ago when I built the home. Well, I didn't build the home, but I decided to have a home built, and there was quite a process involved there. I had never owned a home before, and I had no idea of all that would be involved in building a house. I wanted the house to be attractive. I want it to be designed in a way that people would enjoy being in it. They would enjoy seeing it. I didn't want to be ashamed to show it to visitors or guests. I wanted it to be well built. I wanted it to last a long time. And some of you who know me know that I have lots of company in my house. But I wanted this house to be built to last a long time. I wanted it to be able to withstand storms and pressures. I had to trust a builder, to choose a builder that came well recommended, and to trust someone to work with me in that process. And so I needed the help of a builder. And the scripture tells us that as the children of God, we are building homes. We want them to be attractive. We want them to be well built. We want them to withstand pressure, to last a long time. And we need the help of a master builder. Now, having lived in that house for 9 or 10 years or so, I'm very thankful to have partnered with a builder who knew what he was doing. Now, I have to tell you that we did make some mistakes along the way, but thankfully I was under the watchful eye of a builder who knew what he was doing and knew how to help correct those mistakes as they came along. The process of building a house was an interesting one to me because there were some phases that went very quickly. For example, after the hole had been dug and the walls started to go up, that part went real quickly. And all of a sudden, you're seeing this construction go up in front of your very eyes. And it just was very exciting to watch that part of the process. You could see progress almost hour by hour, certainly day by day. And then there came the parts of the process that were much more tedious, much less exciting. You know, the drywalling, the putting up of trim, the parts that you'd go back day after day after day, and it didn't look like any progress had been made. But the builder knew that even these slow parts of the process were an important part of the process. The exciting thing was to stand back at the end of the process, to look at this beautiful home that God had provided, and with the help of so many capable workmen, and say, mission accomplished. It's completed. Now it's a place that I can live and that others can be ministered to and blessed. As we read this psalm and we read about a workman building a house, we realize he's not just talking about building a physical house, but he's talking about building a home, building a heritage, building a godly family line that will take the heart and the ways and the faith of God into the next generation. And I think we all know that building that kind of home is a lot more demanding, a lot more exacting, and sometimes a lot more exasperating than building a physical house. And one of the reasons is there's so much more at stake. Building a house, well, you know, I don't want it to crumble, but if it does, I can build another house. But when you talk about the home, when you talk about our family relationships, our relationships in the body of Christ, and what's at stake in passing on the baton of God's ways to the next generation, this is something that is very important. It's something that we can't afford to not do well. It's something that we need God's grace for in as great a way as we need it for anything else in our lives. We're talking about building lives. And in these Psalms that we're looking at this week, Psalms 127 and 128, we're talking particularly about building the lives of the next generation, our sons and our daughters. The goal is to build new lives, new homes, churches, and a culture that will be worshipers of God and that will reflect His glory to our world long after we're gone, to leave behind footsteps in which they can walk, to leave behind a model of godliness that they will choose to embrace in the next generation. So we see the image here of a workman. Now there's another image that's used in this passage, another work picture, and it's that of a watchman. The scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We have here a picture of a sentinel, a guard, someone who's been assigned and has accepted the responsibility of standing guard over a city. He can't go to sleep on his shift. He's got to stay alert and awake. He's responsible for looking out for danger. And he needs discernment to recognize when it's an enemy coming or when it's perhaps a friend. This person is in the role of a protector. We're going to see as this psalm unfolds that not only are we building a house, but we have been given the responsibility, the assignment of being watchmen, protectors, looking out over the city that God has entrusted to us. There's a third picture in this passage, and that is the picture of a warrior. You find this referred to in verse 4 of Psalm 127. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. The picture here is of a battle. A battlefield. And we see that our children, our young people, our sons and our daughters are ammunition. They're arrows in that battle. They're not intended to stay in the quiver. Rather, they're to be released, to be sent out into the culture, to be sent out into our world, to pierce and to penetrate the world around us. Those arrows have to be prepared. They have to be carefully shaped and formed, and they have to be shot in the right direction toward the appropriate target. Our effectiveness as warriors in many senses determines the effectiveness of those arrows. If they're crooked, if they're not shaped correctly, if they're sent in the wrong direction, then they're not going to fulfill their purpose. So we see a workman, a watchman, and a warrior. And the psalmist tells us here there's a house to be built. There's a city to be guarded. And there's a battle to be fought. And in that building process, in that guarding process, in that fighting process, we need workmen, we need watchmen, and we need warriors. Each one of those roles has a significant responsibility in the process. If the workman cuts corners, if the watchman falls asleep, or he gets distracted while he's on his shift, and if the warrior fails to show up for battle, we're going to have problems. If any one of these people fails to fulfill their responsibility, lives can actually be endangered. If my builder wasn't meticulous about the way he built that house, we could ultimately have a situation that would prove to be deadly. So these are strategic, vital roles. The psalmist applies each of these word pictures, each of these various roles, to the building of a home, the building of a heritage, and ultimately to the advancing of the kingdom of Christ. You see, when you think about your family, it's not just a matter of, will my kids make it? It's not just a matter of, will we have a good family? Will we have an intact home? There's a much bigger picture here. There's a lot more at stake than what most of us remember from day to day, and that is we're talking about the kingdom of Christ. He is building His kingdom. His kingdom will prevail, and we are workmen with Him. We are watchmen with Him. We are warriors with Him. And the purpose of God for our families, our homes, our relationships, is that through our little part of building, we should be contributing to a much larger building of the kingdom of God. It's through this means that we leave a legacy of godliness for the next generation. If you lose sight of that vision, then you're going to get weary in well-doing. You're going to find yourself in that mothering meltdown saying, what's the purpose? This is exhausting. This is depleting. I don't think I want to keep doing this. Now, that's not to say that there won't be those times, there won't be those feelings. But if you can lift your eyes upward and say, what's the bigger picture here? What's God's idea? God intended that our children, not just our own children, but the next generation that's been entrusted to us as a generation of adult believers, our children, the next generation, are a blessing. They're a gift that's been entrusted to us by God. They are a sacred stewardship from the Lord. And you and I, as adult believers, one day will have to give account to God for the spiritual condition of the next generation. Now, that's a sobering thought. That's not at all, by the way, to diminish their responsibility. They will have to give account to God for what they did with what we gave to them. But we will one day stand before God, married, single, children, no children, and give account, I believe, to God for how we built, how we watched over the city, and for how we fought the battle on behalf of the next generation.
A watchman, a workman, and a warrior. These three images in the psalm speak powerfully about what it means to be a parent. Nancy Lee DeMoss has been helping us understand how these images and these psalms apply specifically to us as women. She'll be right back to lead us in prayer. Your children need a watchman, a workman, and a warrior, helping them grow and develop into the person God wants them to be. Launching the next generation is one of the most awesome responsibilities we have. I hope you'll listen all week to Nancy's series, Leaving a Godly Legacy. It'll help you learn how to engage with your child's heart over spiritual things. To help you remember the things you're learning in this series, we want to send you a beautifully designed bookmark that lists some of them. In fact, we'll send you 5 bookmarks, 1 for you and 4 for your friends. Just ask for them when you call 1-800-569-5959 or visit reviveourhearts.com to order yours. When you visit reviveourhearts.com, would you take a look at the newly redesigned Revive Our Hearts tote bag? Our last tote bag was released during a series based on Colossians 3:12. It says, "Put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." That verse was printed on the bag, and women loved them and ordered all that we had. So with summer approaching, we created a new bag based on the same design. It's sturdier in its construction, but will still remind you to put on compassion, kindness, and all the other attributes found in Colossians 3:12. We'll send you the tote when you make a donation of any amount. We're nearing the fiscal year end at Revive Our Hearts, getting ready to close the books and evaluate the type of ministry that'll be possible through the summer and beyond. So your gift is important at this time, and you can make your donation by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959, or visit reviveourhearts.com. Don't forget to ask for your tote bag when you make your donation. Imagine a young person who is immersed in church activities and attends a Christian school, yet they don't have a heart for God. You probably know someone like that. Tomorrow, Nancy will talk about why that happens. Now she's back to pray that you and I will leave a godly legacy.
Father, it's a sobering thing to think of our responsibility as workmen, as watchmen, as warriors, and all that's at stake. And we confess that we really don't know how to do those jobs very well, that we need you. Lord, our heart's desire is to be able one day to stand before you and with joy to give account for having passed over the baton, having handed on the torch, having raised up a new generation that loves you. That's our heart's desire. Lord, would you show us how and do the work in us and through us. For Jesus' sake, we pray it, and for the sake of your great kingdom. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.